power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound fun.
Six, five, four, one. Deadline.
Episode 35 of the podcast, a podcast about the game of diplomacy. I am Eric Mead.
And I remain Nathan Barnes.
Of course you do. So what do we have lined up today? A couple of new segments, yeah?
Diplomacy news. Diplomacy news.
You know, for the first time in a long time, there are some pretty significant changes in the world of diplomacy.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a change this big since they threw out that PC version of the game Diplomacy. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God. I think I tried that once, the PC. You played a little more of that than I did, I think.
I was actually one of the beta testers for that.
And, really?
I was, really. It was, it stank to high heaven, I think is the kindest thing to say. It was pretty. They had some really nice graphic design, you know.
Okay, well.
When your computer AI cannot capture Norway in 1901 as England, you've got problems.
You know, did you change the difficulty setting?
Yeah, that was on the expert setting.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Yeah, in fact, I think I knew somebody who used to play against the computer to see how quickly he could get 18 centers as each of the various powers. And I think he maxed it out mathematically. I think whatever the mathematical maximum is for each power, it was just awful, frankly.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that that didn't last.
Well, yes. The artificial intelligence just isn't there yet.
No. And they don't make for very good allies, so.
Indeed.
But in good news, in new news, in the last 2 weeks, there's been not just one, but two big announcements. Do you want to start out with the hobby news or the actual game news?
I think we should start with the actual game news, right? That's the one that affects everybody.
That's the exciting one to me. I mean,
This is big news, right? Okay, I've got the press release here, right?
Okay.
Shall I just read it?
Let's do it.
All right, in the news. Seattle, Washington, March 29th, 2015. Hasbro's iconic diplomacy celebrates 6 years. All right, here's the press release. Okay. Since its debut in 1959, the diplomacy brand has captivated more than 1 billion players in 114 countries around the world with its seven-sided battle to conquer Europe. In 2015, Hasbro Incorporated will celebrate the diplomacy brand's 60th anniversary by updating the map to better reflect a more modern understanding of the socio-political situation at the turn of the 20th century. Quote, after six decades, the diplomacy name remains immensely popular around the world, and we're thrilled to celebrate this iconic anniversary with a new and exciting diplomacy board. This is from Jonathan Berkowitz.
Berkowitz.
Of Global Marketing and Gaming at Hasbro. So finally, they're paying some attention to this great game.
There you go.
He says, we continue to listen to our fans to keep the diplomacy brand relevant for today and introduce new ways for fans of all ages to enjoy the brand. Okay. So what does this mean? What are they doing? Updating the board. In celebration of the brand's 60th anniversary, Hasbro Gaming introduced the Diplomacy 60th Anniversary Edition of the game, which is going to be available this spring, with a vintage-style board, fleets and navies that are wooden pieces, classic wooden pieces, which everybody
loves. We always like wooden pieces, yes, of course.
They'll have markers, which I think some people like from some of the newer versions. And this is really the bomb. This is the big thing here.
Let's hear it.
We have removed the neutral supply center of Belgium and moved it to Ukraine.
Oh, see, I think that's so good.
Yep. Well, it goes on. We believe this better captures the spirit of the game as envisioned by its creator, Alan Kalhammer, and will make for an improved dynamic in the play of one of the most iconic games of the 20th century. Wow. That's not all. I mean, that's big.
Oh,
that's
more?
Not all. Yeah. Okay. We'll circle back to that. But here's the
More
news. Fans will soon also experience the Diplomacy brand in a variety of formats, including digital gaming on all major platforms, mobile, console, and online, through collaborations with licensees as Ubisoft, and Electronic Arts. Those are some pretty heavy hitters.
The
game will also come to life on screen with the upcoming nationally syndicated weekly game show Diplomacy Champions Club, hosted by Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton of, you know, Tabletop and Star Trek Next Generation. Mm-hmm. And this is 100% turnaround for him. He's always been like, no, never going to do it. Never going to do it.
I hate diplomacy. No, Will, you finally joined.
He must be good at it. Okay. Or they threw a ton of money at him. I don't know. Will air later this year on exclusive cable partner, the Game Show Network. Well, that's not so good. Do you even have the Game Show Network? Don't know where they show like reruns of Press Your Luck.
It's something like that, or isn't it just like Price is Right all the time? I don't know.
I think so. No whammies. Okay. But still, check your local listings. Players can also look forward to the highly anticipated Diplomacy at McDonald's promotion.
Diplomacy at McDonald's?
In the United States and in more than a dozen countries around the world. I guess you're going to have to try and get to 18 supply centers. I don't know what they're going to do with that. Maybe they'll have provinces on, like, a tear-off. It'll be like the Monopoly thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I vaguely remember that years ago. That was very popular.
Yeah, they've been doing that. All right. All done here. A couple more things here. Diplomacy Brand has built a passionate fan community on social media and has often looked to its fans globally to influence changes to the game. In 2013, the brand tapped its more than 11,000 global Facebook fans to pick the game's newest supply center, Ukraine. Oh, that must be a typo, because that's this year. In 2014... this was last year. They had the great Diplomacy House Rules debate on Facebook, which we've been talking about.
Oh, yes. You were very involved in that, if I remember.
Well, yeah. Actually should have stayed out of it more than I did. But anyway, all the house rules that are now printed with all the Diplomacy games came out of that. In 2015, Diplomacy fans from around the world will gather to celebrate the anniversary, for the 60th anniversary, at the upcoming Diplomacy World Championship event scheduled for September 7th through 9th at the Venetian in Macau.
Oh.
Now, I guess that's a change, because I thought the World Diplomacy Championships were in Milan this year.
I think it was a last-second venue change for some reason. There was something happened.
Macau is awesome. I've been to Macau. It's a great place for the event.
Oh, yeah. I guess I have to go now.
Absolutely. They moved it out to September, so people have time to get their tickets.
Exactly.
Last thing here finishes up. Diplomacy lovers can look forward to the next 60 years as the brand continues to evolve in surprising ways. Learn more about the Diplomacy brand at www.diplomacy.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/diplomacy and by using the hashtag Diplomacy 60.
April Fools!
Oh, we gotcha.
Oh, we gotcha really good.
I bet each and every one of you believed for a moment that those two jokers were Nathan and Eric. How wrong you were!
Nathaniel and Aaron, I believe, are the names.
You know, I've never paid much attention.
I've never met the lads.
I don't like looking at them in the eye.
They don't seem very thoughtful
or
considerate.
They're ugly, Sean.
You're right, Sean. They're ugly. In truth, that was Siobhan Nolan and Chris Martin pretending to be Raoul and what's his name?
I forget his name. It doesn't matter.
Couldn't care.
You know who Naples and Brushed, I think, are their names.
Naples and Brushed. Oh, that's funny. On account of Naples sounds a little like... Belgium. No,
I can't
that's
remember.
Not it.
I can't remember what it is. Everything that they said.
Brass has on it. No, what were you going to... I was
letting the listeners know...
Please.
...that this is an April Fool's shenanigan.
Yes, that was just a prank that they played. Of course, it's us that are hosting the show today.
Of course. And everything they've said was false, except for that hashtag Diplomacy60. That's completely true, and you should start using it in your Twitter.
You know what hashtag I like when I tweet?
You've tweeted.
I'm twatting right now.
Methinks you doth twat too much.
I use hashtag diplomacy sexy. because that's what 60 is. Wouldn't you
I can see
sir?
That. I was wondering if that was your tweet.
You know who's a sexy 60-year-old is that Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver. I remember that time in Vienna with that waiter. Yeah. What was his name?
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, no, that's someone else.
Well, then I'm not sure who Sigourney Weaver is, but it sounds like some kind of Viennese waiter to me.
So we're supposed to do something here.
Yes.
What was it that that Dick and Jane wanted us to do?
I think something about Brest and Naples. We were to discuss.
So, Sean, you've been obsessed with that for years.
I've been obsessed with Brest for many years. Yes, you're right.
You've been spelling it wrong, too.
B-R...
B. Arthur's dead.
B. Arthur. How I miss you. I lie awake nights. I should go.
You should look her up.
I should. Oh, B.
Do you need to be alone,
speechless.
Sean?
I am alone right now. There's just me and Sean Connery.
Hashtag Diplomacy Dickie.
Hashtag Diplomacy Dickies. Yes. The most stylish workwear that you can wear while playing diplomacy. Brought to you by Carhartt.
I've heard of him. Wasn't he a warrior? A dragon was named Carhartt.
A dragon it is. You're right about that, Sean.
That's true.
That's true. We must be going.
I think we've done everything we've been asked to do.
We've set our peace.
I think we've entertained the people. I can't believe that Carl and Junior would not like us and be happy with what we've done.
They're very grateful, I'm sure. Now, a nipple is the thing.
What's a nipple?
Well, it's like what's on a bread.
Oh, I see what
you've
been doing.
Wouldn't it be funny, see, if Brest bordered Naples on the diplomacy board?
I would. So in your mind, just so I'm clear, Sean, you think nipples border breasts?
In a matter of speaking, yes.
I think technically, a nipple is a shitty state surrounded by the country of Naples.
I think that's an excellent geopolitical analysis.
I think we'll go there next time we have to come here for peas and carrots or whatever.
Stay tuned and thanks to Walter and Nipple for their opportunity to guest host.
Hashtag diplomacy, diplomacy.
April Fools!
Wow, wasn't that fun?
April Fools. No, Sean Connery's aren't really hosting our show again.
I do like that for a while, listener, you believed that we were going to do another hour of that.
Minimum. You say you looked at the thing, you saw however long this ends up being, and you were like, oh my God.
Wow.
Much more Sean Connery.
I want to let you know right now, there is no more Sean Connery.
First, you're like, how much Chris and Siobhan is going on right now? And then 7 minutes in, you're like, oh God, the rest of it, Sean Connery, isn't it?
That's the prank. Hmm. No, we wouldn't do that to you. And I want you to really take a moment right now and really just bask in the relief that we're not actually doing
no it. And in fact that may be all.
We really milked it.
So the thing that happened over the last couple of months, in addition to Nathan becoming a father, that part wasn't a pre-April Fool's joke from the last episode. Nathan really is a dad.
Yeah, it is actually true.
Is that we spent months making a 4-hour super episode that like literally just came out a few days ago, and so if you finished that one, mazel tov.
Good job. We don't expect anybody to have finished that. Epic. I hesitate to use the word slog because that makes it sound like it's not pleasant, because it is interesting and
extraordinary.
Awesome.
30-something guests. What are you going to do?
It was, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to that one, you definitely should go back and listen to it. But because of that, and having literally just posted it, we posted it today, which is, I'll just tell you.
We're recording on the 27th.
If we're recording on the 27th, we don't usually disclose that.
Yeah.
But so it's just, we couldn't get it together. Not for lack of trying, but, you coordinate 34 people and...
Yeah.
A producer and...
And then we're supposed to make an April Fool's gag show, too.
Yeah.
And so the truth is we had a couple cheap gags and we're done with that. And we actually want to do sort of a show.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that's not mostly devoted to recording different people spewing garbage. Good stuff. No, I'm not... you know what I'm saying. Like...
Except you, Robert Primus. That was garbage.
That's still one of my favorites. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to take this seriously? Mic drop.
Yeah, just soloed. Later.
See ya. Yeah. So you want me to follow up my comment about a 12-hour game with a long existential discussion of Smyrna? Mm. Yeah, no.
Not doing that.
Anyway, so that's I hope.
Right.
I hope people aren't too disappointed. We definitely we maintain the tradition.
Yes. You got your funny. We wanted to get some email because the thing that has happened here is that emails have piled up. We're not even going to get to all of them today, but we at least wanted to do a couple of those. And then a power play segment.
Yeah.
We're going to talk today, inspired by my recent trip to a tournament covered ad nauseum in the last episode, a few more things that I got to talking with about with people there about sort of like the off the board. And I know we've talked about this a little bit on the show, but I really had kind of a specific idea of some things that I wanted to talk about regarding like sort of anything we can do to help you present sort of how to portray yourself, how to try and come off away from the boards,
like
not worrying so much about what you're doing during negotiations, but there's just
it's because I think you talk to a lot of people. You were not only at that tournament, but you were trying to, you know, coordinate all these Skype things, and we got to talking about some of the stuff that we've talked about before, but it was more of an interesting angle. And, you know, it's funny, now that I'm sitting here talking about it, Comic-Con is going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And it really...
Yeah.
We were thinking about this episode, and I was thinking, it was like, oh, wow, look at there. This is really a great example of, you know, so many people coming together and, you know, I was seeing a little bit of a culture clash between like the people of downtown and not, and, you know, they're just a lot of this, the layers were coming up. So, so I'm excited to talk about it. It's going to be good. But first,
stuff we want to touch on. We want to get a couple emails hot off the press right now.
Hot off the press?
Hot off the press?
Yeah. People don't use a press anymore.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, so if we just dropped it like it was hot?
If we just dropped it like it was hot, you can do better than that. Drop it like it's hot.
Off the press.
I'm not saying that.
Okay, cool. Oh, gosh. You're still in the April Fool's mood here. Tim Jones writes... We just had to get this one out of the way really fast. Hi, guys. Thanks for all your great work on the podcast. I have only one question right now. Why is hot off the press not called opening negotiations? It seems so appropriate.
Thank you. Because honestly, Tim, and I don't know if you're a new listener and you haven't heard the episodes in which I lament hot off the press literally every time. And the only reason I didn't start making fun of it is because we were going to read this email.
And
it's now called opening negotiations. Thank you very much.
No, it's certainly not.
Oh,
we're not changing the thing. Whatever.
We have to get, a new bumper?
Yes, we have to get a new bumper. Those are expensive.
Put our budget on this. Yeah. It's going to be...
So if you don't know, in like postal diplomacy and in early online diplomacy and maybe still in online diplomacy for all the hell I know because...
Let's lean back on the old laws, the old scripture.
Messages to your... Right. It is written. Messages to your opponents are always called press for whatever reason having to do with zines and stuff like that. And so it seemed like a good... it was never great, but we needed a name.
Yeah,
and now we have it.
Now we have what
opening
we...
negotiations we
call,
would have
in,
been better.
In the parlance, we call that momentum.
Yeah. We have... It has...
Yeah. Okay. We'll go ahead and keep calling it hot off the press, and I'll keep making references to opening negotiations. How about that?
But we appreciate the contribution.
Thanks, Tim.
On a slightly more... Well, not, like, serious, like, oh my God, I'm about to read something terrible note, but like a, you know, like a, hey, let's have a conversation about this note. David Hood wrote us, month and a half ago, something like that, you know, while we were working on this other thing that we were doing. David Hood wrote us a really thoughtful email.
The day after my daughter was born, so I was a little busy.
Yeah. His daughter, by the way, Myrna, have we covered that? I think we mentioned it in the last episode, but so M-Y-R-N-A. So future children will include Evastopol.
Mm-hmm.
T. Petersburg. Payne, South Coast.
Yeah, Payne. That's going to be the
Urbia.
If I have a son, it's definitely going to be Payne, South Coast.
Payne, South Coast. I hope
he's going to be a wrestler. He's going to be amazing.
From the South Coast of somewhere.
Somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to move
to
a lake or something. Who's this? That's Payne. It's better than Erbia. Erbia sounds just like...
I like T. Petersburg. It sounds like some sort of like video game character from...
you might as well put the bowler hat and give him his umbrella cane.
Yeah, look out, it's T. Petersburg.
Well, and he's covered in tweed. Why is that?
That's kind of what I think.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, Mr. Hood, we got to...
David Hood. Yeah.
You going to read this whole thing?
Would you learn?
I'm just asking what your plan is here. Well, let's just do it how we rehearsed it.
Right, which is not at all. Okay. Hey, guys, just finished the last two episodes. Enjoyable as always. This was probably 32 and 33, obviously not 34, because he'd be dead. When I first got into the hobby, it had only recently become conventional wisdom that AI need to ally early on for mutual survival. I think RT had steamrolled so much in the 70s that by the mid-80s, the person playing Italy had stopped slamming into Austria so often. Of course, Nathan is still apparently stuck in the 70s since he has attempted to sabotage the AI discussion at every turn by suggesting that Italy just do the slam anyway, so I guess I'm really only talking to Eric at this point.
Point of order.
Yeah,
I advocate slamming into Austria as Italy in specific circumstances when it makes sense. The reason I bring it up is because I like it.
Well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's, so I have a propensity for it. I think an AI is, I've had many an AI and I enjoy them very much. I'm not saying that the only way to play Italy is that. It's just I like playing it.
Well, I thought part of your argument also was that if Italy's are going to solo, they're going to eat Austria at some point.
Right.
So frequently, why not do it?
Well, right. And that was on a meta level, to avoid stagnation, right. You might want to just go for it. If barring, you know, if you, all things being equal,
mm-hmm.
you just, why not? You know, you're not going to get to Spain.
Yeah.
If there's not a solid RT barreling down your throat, I mean, you're like, meh, she, meh, meh. Because just waiting around is pretty much a guarantee of flushing your entire result down the drain.
Well, okay. And so presumably you wind up liking the IR alliance pretty often.
You know, you start there.
Yeah.
And then anyway. I don't want to get too far off until we finish the email.
It's thought provoking. It's David.
Yes, exactly. But he is, of course, the 9,845th person who's mentioned that I might be stuck in the 70s.
Yeah, there's actually a variety of reasons for that. Yes.
That's a very astute comment.
I do think y'all, he actually spelled out y'all. For their Y'ALL.
I like that he spelled it right.
Love David Hood. I do think y'all's discussion could have benefited from more order description, though. Some of your listeners may only barely know the moves for a Lepanto, much less a Key Lepanto. Maybe next time describe the moves more. Does Italy just send one army to Trieste for the key opening? Might Austria support himself to Galicia, spring 01, or order direct to Romania, since in a key opening, Serbia usually ends up with Italy? I see his point, I think. Although that was... Nathan's working on it.
I drifted for a moment. I was reading the next paragraph. This is why you should just read them, and I shouldn't be reading them at the same time.
No, it's fine. So his point is... Well, his point is something that
we always
obviously haven't figured out on this show, which is who actually is listening to this thing. Is it people who are just like, Key Lepanto, blah, blah, blah.
It's funny, though, because we talk about it all the time.
I don't get out of bed until I've done two Key Lepantos, or is it like really people that like...
I don't think what you're doing is a Key Lepanto. I mean, I could be wrong.
I really walked into that.
Anyway, we often, just for, you know, everyone's edification, we often talk about, while we're planning the show and discussing the show at large, like, how do we really make sure that we're not just sort of speaking in a jargon that really only targets sort of the upper echelon or like people that have just really, really experienced the game, and we're too much shorthand, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say in a long-winded fashion. So you're right, David. I think we could do a better job of talking more about the moves.
This is weird. This is like our only critical email we've ever gotten in our entire lives, at least.
That's because of the other people. No, and And it's good. And I
yeah.
Thank
no,
you
he's
doing
right.
It. He is right, and I do want to, I would ask if David or anybody has some good ideas about how to do that, because the challenge we've had when talking about it is when you list off, when you start listing off the orders, and you, if you go back to our episodes that are about opening moves or country specific, you'll hear us talk about in 01, like what you should, you know, do. And you're basically just saying starting position to adjacent province. And after that, we kind of have a tough time describing things, because we tried, we have tried doing it in a more complicated fashion, and it gets muddy. So I would really love to hear, maybe if we had a somehow had a map or some sort of visual that we could add with the podcast. I don't know what it is. You know, the classic is those pouch articles that that have the little maps of the maps, and sometimes an animated GIF or something.
Yeah.
So that would, and I'm not suggesting we actually do that route, but that's what pops into my head.
You know what? I think you just stumbled on the right answer to this, which is if our particular tactical discussion is over your head for a second, pause the podcast, go to dippouch.org, the thing that we're talking about.
Oh, actually, this is it. Yeah, I like
it. Probably on there somewhere. Like,
yeah, we haven't had an original idea ever.
No,
so,
not really, particularly, except,
that was close, though. I remember that.
Yeah.
I knew where you were going. That was mostly just us keelapontoing.
Look up that talking about Sean Connery pouch that they did. That's really good. Really good.
That's good feedback on the and then you had an actual tactical question, right?
He wants to know, like, what our favorite Kilopanto did. Is that what you took from the last part of what I read?
Yes.
Okay.
What my favorite is?
Or, well, like, how would you do a Kilopanto if you were doing a Kilopanto?
I mostly just push straight through.
I feel like you have to still have something in Budapest, because it needs to support Trieste to Serbia. Forward.
Vienna.
Because I always think about it from the Austrian perspective, and like, if Turkey's like wise to it and just happens to bounce the guy out of Serbia, then like, Austria just dies. Like, oops, our Kilopanto screwed up, and actually Italy just like took Trieste and nobody took Serbia.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, you can't. I think going to Galicia is a huge gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I've been on the Australian end of a key, I've really advocated for the Vienna.
The Australian end.
Did I say Australian?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was another example of me using shorthand. So when an Australian key.
Yeah, the Australian end of the key.
Go to our April Fool's episode about openings. It's called an Australian key. The Austrian end of things. I've always, and maybe that's just ignorance, maybe I've just ended up feeling safer. Vienna, Budapest,
right.
Sir, and then obviously to Albania.
Right.
And then having the push through.
And then hope for the best.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
I've
done all that many of these. I've done maybe one or two. But the basic idea, let's just start here. If you're listening to this and you're about to just fast forward because you're like, what?
Yeah, because we're
basic idea is that Italy opens to Trieste, appearing to want to attack the Austrian. The Austrian looks outraged, angry, Australian, whatever he looks like. He pretends to be upset about that.
An apt adjective.
Yeah. And then somehow the Italian leaves in the fall and goes to Serbia. Austria does not lose his home center of Trieste, and everybody celebrates because now you have an extra army on your front to attack Russia-Turkey. This is the basic concept. And David Hood tells us in the next sentence, the opening is named after Jeff Key.
Oh, that's where the name came from. We probably talked about why is it called the Key? I remember it was named after a guy, now that he said something. I, for some reason, thought it was Dan Key, but I'm going to go with Mr. Hood being correct on this one.
Jeff, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll accept Jeff.
Non-unique names, Jeff will work.
Jeff's fine.
Could be Doug. Could be Steve.
Yeah, we'll go Jeff. Sure. One more part to his email here. Similarly, loved the interview with Brother Ike, but you may have wanted to describe exactly how fantasy diplomacy was scored and so forth for listeners not in the know.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Y'all, he did it again, are going to continue to be a gateway for newer players in the hobby, which is awesome. Do all you can to make them feel welcome and not feel excluded from terminology or personality discussion. That I love too, but that others may not get. I see where he's going.
No, and we've definitely had that discussion as well. Like, let's make sure we're not just talking about specific people.
On the point of how exactly it's scored, we actually did cover that in a show. It's pretty well laid out. Although I may have breezed over exactly what Grand Prix scoring is. So I'll tell you what, David Hood, if you're listening, next episode, I'll break it down for the next year a little bit, like how we're scoring fantasy diplomacy and explain what Grand Prix scoring actually is, because fair enough.
Maybe you could put it all on the website.
And we could... that maybe Alex Maslow could do that, yeah.
Yes. That would be excellent. No, it would be good to do that. That would be a good time in which to say, hey, go to our website, or hey, go to the Dip Pouch.
Yeah.
We have places to point people. With visuals and numbers and...
So you know how the Grand Prix is scored, among other things.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing that continues to get... of all of the things that are... like, that people compete for in the hobby, Grand Prix is one of the only ones people care about.
Yeah,
which means that it's a pretty cool thing. And we do use it in fantasy diplomacy scoring. So I owe you listeners that one. And then he says, keep up the great work, fellas. The podcast is really important to the hobby, I think, and it was great to see you both at DixieCon. And then it says, sent from my Verizon Wireless 4G LTE droid.
No, okay. Yeah, I think that is the best, what do they call it when it's at the end? It's not a salutation, that's at the beginning. It's a...
like a, I don't know, epitaph?
No, that's a sig line? I think an epitaph... is sort of what I'm talking about, but it's really the last
actually
one.
Actually, quite past yet. He's still ticking.
No, that was good. I like that he's, as I've already mentioned, I like that he's hitting on stuff that we're aware of and then didn't follow our own concerns, which is always good to have someone out there for.
So bring it a little bit. Challenge us if you want to in the emails. We spent so long on that one, I kind of want to move on.
Okay. No, let's move on. Power plays.
Also, in the next episode, more emails, because we have a few that are still sitting in there that we want to get to or attempt to decipher, is the case, maybe?
Yeah.
There's a couple...
There's definitely things that will take some time to discuss.
But we just spent too much time on this, so we're going to move on. Power plays. Talk about just...
How to present yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff to do at tournaments to be a more complete diplomacy play.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Good stuff.
Okay, now you can do the thing. Go back.
Power plays!
There you go.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Okay.
Power plays.
Yeah.
All right, so we want to get right into it. I think that... like I'm not, we've introed this enough. First things first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say clothes make the man.
Yeah, and this might seem like a trivial thing, and it might be like, really, do we have to care?
You know,
about, like,
you care what you wear to a job interview, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to influence people at a job interview, right?
Yeah.
So you need to be careful about what you wear. So, I mean, I think the most basic thing is
T-shirts, right?
Yeah, obviously, T-shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a specific T-shirt, people. You want a T-shirt that is at least 10 years old and is from a diplomacy tournament.
Right.
I mean, even if you've never been to a diplomacy tournament, you do make your own.
Sure, you can get one on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Make your own is a great idea.
I am sure the Pickissers still have hundreds of T-shirts.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they'll give them away.
So, really, think about like what we really want to emphasize is be sure that your T-shirt is from an old diplomacy tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And
probably one that doesn't exist anymore.
That'd be fine, yeah. Those look good. They are good. They cover your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
if you're, I mean, most, a lot of tournaments will sell these. Make sure when you are purchasing one, it's two or three sizes smaller than you normally would wear.
Easy, easy, because you really just want to show it off. I mean, some people will be kind of probably intimidated when they're on boards with you if you're just really kind of bulging out of the thing.
Yeah.
Any way you can, just bulge out of that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So what I'm thinking, I mean, ideally, you're rocking like TempleCon 06 in lime green.
Yeah.
With holes.
Oh, I mean, but legit holes, not like you cut holes. Like, this has been worn so often. Because here's the thing. Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an easy way of identifying other people that are clearly masters, clearly people that know what they're doing. So if you need to layer, if you have a bunch of t-shirts, you should bring all of them.
That's actually fine. Although, I mean, you only really need to wear probably one or two for the weekend.
So but you want to have them there. Get your board call, and if you have a color shirt that matches. Oh, you need to change.
That's true. And if it just so happens that you've got like the black TempleCon 06 and it's like you're Germany.
Oh yeah, boom, you change.
Shout that out. You let change. People know.
Absolutely. Let people
know. Yeah. That's
who, I mean, every diplomacy player is like, I'm the black guy. You know, like that's definitely something that you should be trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, yell that all the time.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a little sweaty. After a while, like, I mean, if you started with the one for the Friday night round, you had a really sort of vigorous Friday night round. You were out there. You were working. It gets sweaty. By Sunday, all the better.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because
now people know that you're into this game.
What better way of, and we're going to get into this later, aside from detailing every single moment of a game, can you just broadcast to people that you are someone that has been successful and really has the endurance to be a quality ally. That's great. No, absolutely.
Also, I guess maybe the only other thing to mention would be like if you have a hat, like a really dumb hat, like if it's, I mean,
just, but it's gotta be dumb.
Yeah, right.
I mean, don't. I'm not saying like a
not like hipster ironic John Deere cap.
It's gotta be.
Legit like a. Jester hat, or a beanie, or a propeller hat,
just something that like there's no reason to be wearing ever.
Exactly,
like there's no situation in which this hat is appropriate or desirable. That's the hat you want.
It says, I mean, look at me. I'm not afraid to have fun.
Exactly,
and that's what we go to these things for. Theoretically, is for having fun.
Oh, we're gonna get into that.
Yeah,
about the fun. Yeah. So anyway, good. So that's first things first. Think about the attire.
Yeah,
make sure and. I cannot say this enough. It is so important to have these t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Save everyone. Mm-hmm. Bring everyone every time. If you have 25 of them, I guess there's an upper limit, but I mean, I don't think anybody has that many t-shirts, but if you have 15, 20, bring them all.
That's fine. Yeah. The other thing you can do, I guess, is if you have one that you've put like your own slogan on about diplomacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like if it's or I'm a good ally or like Care Bear.
Stab me, I'm Irish. You know, that sort
perfect.
Of thing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's okay too in a pinch if you just aren't really in the mood to wear.
Where's your first tournament and you're listening to this podcast on your way there, which we've had plenty of listeners do.
That happens.
Yeah, it might be hard to like get one together. Although you know if you befriend somebody really quick, you can just ask. You can just take them aside and say, "Look, I wasn't prepared. Do you have an extra t-shirt?"
Yeah, that's true.
And you know. This is, I think we've talked about this before. It's a friendly hobby. People are always there to help you out. Someone is definitely willing. I mean, they might give you one. I mean, if it's Saturday, they might give you one they've already used.
Right.
But that's okay. That is 1,000% better than whatever crap you're wearing.
Yeah, exactly. Should we say anything about pants? Or, I mean,
Mostly optional, but. Yeah.
You could wear them, not wear them.
It doesn't matter. Like, people aren't looking at anything other than your shirt.
Sure.
I mean, you could wear whatever,
right.
But you know,
we got a lot to cover. Let's leave pants for another episode.
Well, we're never actually going to get back to pants. It's just not something to worry about. Focus on the t-shirts.
You're right. All right. So you got to eat.
Yes, that is that is one of the more astute observations you've made on this show.
You know, I
mean, you're segueing. It's fine.
I'm saying that's okay. Yeah, it's just trying to make a little.
I know. No, you have to eat, and it's important.
So
it's easy to forget.
Want people to know, I guess, like that you're a, sort of a hearty, kind of virile, kind of life-loving kind of person, I guess, is what you want to communicate when you're eating.
You know, it's like caveman rules.
Yeah, right.
I mean, whoever eats the most has the most dots. I mean, you're...
That's usually true, yeah.
Yeah,
it's amazing how often that's true.
Yeah, we joke about this all the time, but, like, literally the people... You can chart it.
Uh-huh.
The people that are the biggest successes are often the people that are having, you know, the biggest meals.
The most chicken wings.
I know. Just a random example.
Yeah. I mean, eat like crazy.
Yeah.
I think is one thing. Like, you've got to starve yourself for the week before the tournament so that you're, like, ready to go for the thing.
Exactly. And this is what it's not just eating.
Yeah.
You're not just eating. You're not just going to Subway and getting a sandwich and eating it. Mm-hmm. Like, if the only thing you could do is, like, try to run away from every other diplomacy person. But if there's at least one other player there, you're being observed.
Yeah.
You're on stage. You are diploming with what you're choosing, what you choose to eat, how you choose to eat it.
Exactly.
You need to be gusto. I mean,
if you can be, like, in critical negotiations at, like, a turning point of the game, like, if it's down to, like, I have to stab somebody at this point in the game, and you've got yourself, like, a bag of Doritos that you're just horking down while you're having that critical negotiation, perfect.
Oh, my God.
Just make that happen. Or, I mean, better yet, like, I don't know exactly what venue every tournament's being played in, but if you ordered, like, something from the hotel, and they could bring it right at that moment, so you've got, like, a full-on cheeseburger, like, in your mouth while you're trying to convince someone to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
You should be ordering... At any juncture, given the option, bigger is better.
Yeah.
You don't get the nachos, you get the super nachos. You don't get the single burger, you get the triple burger. You don't get if it comes to it and everything, there's no, like, thing with a bigger thing, that contrast, order two. Order two entrees.
Sure, why not?
It's fine.
And then you can be like, hey, anyone else wants some of these nachos? Help yourselves. What a magnanimous guy.
Exactly.
I'm totally not stabbing him.
And here's the other thing. Usually there's, I often don't want to talk about this, but there's often limited bathrooms, and you need to be in a place where you're leaving sort of a dominant presence.
That's very true.
I mean, and that's
all plates of nachos.
It's all part of the food thing.
Done.
Like you're okay. No, this is mine. Like claiming territory is what it's all about,
exactly,
and not being like it's just different rules.
Exactly.
And I think that takes people a little bit of time to get used to.
The same thing goes for like the breath mint thing. Like if you're going to eat all those nachos, do not, for God's sake, do not like.
Ruin it.
Diminish that. Yeah, exactly. By having any kind of a breath.
No, absolutely not. No,
yeah,
you've established that dominance. Don't try and be like polite, I guess is what it is.
Probably goes without saying, but
I think it's probably good to throw it in there. Like,
yeah.
So,
but
I guess so distill the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Eat as much as possible.
Yeah.
Do it constantly.
Calories, calories, calories.
Do it at any juncture.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it during negotiations, even better. Nothing says presence, power, dominance than just having that cheeseburger while you're talking to somebody.
Definitely. Yeah.
So
we agree on that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this stuff seems obvious.
I think
most of you are already doing this. But
I'll tell you, I've run into people that they say no. I'm gonna wait to eat, and then they get hungry, and then they kind of get lightheaded, and you know they're not
real fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I gotta go. How many times have you been in a place? It's like, oh, I gotta go eat. Oh, blah blah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's none of that.
But I guess that's actually as good a segue as anything to sort of our next topic about like a lot of times like after the game.
Oh, perfect. You know, yeah.
If
I see
you're not
yeah.
full for some reason, like if you had, like you got the small Doritos and you probably should have gotten the big Doritos.
Well, sometimes that's all that's left in the little machine, mm-hmm. you know?
A lot of people are going to want to go out and eat afterwards.
Sure.
Which is fun, you know?
And you should go even if you're full, you need to go.
That's right. Even if you're full. Yeah, what the heck? I could probably have another cheeseburger.
Sure.
Because remember, like the point of this is you're not just going out to eat. You're going out to like mingle with the other people from the tournament and in a socially driven game. That's
yeah.
important.
Like, it's not just eating. That's what
So another thing that we wanted to talk about in this episode was to kind of cover a few of the sort of do's
etiquette?
And don'ts. Yeah.
I think etiquette's too strong of a word, but yeah.
Just kind of the do's and don'ts for like going out with some people yeah. afterwards.
Absolutely.
Where should we start? There's a few things I want to touch on here.
There's definitely one that I'm thinking of, but I think it comes at the end, so yeah. I'm gonna wait on that one.
Oh, about the check?
About the check.
Yeah,
I want
okay, we'll
to do that. It makes
we'll
sense in the
that.
Yeah.
The drinking. There's okay. probably going to be drinking.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go to a bar.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I guess one thing that I'd start with is there's no such thing as too much, right?
No, absolutely
No. I mean, sometimes people are just like, oh, I've got a play tomorrow, or oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or they're absolutely just incoherent. But mm-hmm. no, you never, first of all, you never cut anybody else off. You don't do that. Continue to let them buy as much as they would like, and then you should have as much as you would like too. Because it's really, I don't want to call it a drinking contest, but there's certainly
yeah.
a lot of
there's an element of that.
There's
for
a,
sure.
a little element
yeah.
of that. It's like, oh, are you gonna tank out? I mean, like
again,
there's a certain amount of respect that's given to you if you can survive, if you can roll,
if you're telling secrets like sexual secrets about your wife, that's. That's great. I mean, it's like people like really like that.
Oh yeah.
And if you want to know,
even if you've
yet,
never met,
you want to know
before.
Sexual secrets about their wives,
yeah,
or girlfriends or
whatever
it is. Yeah, that's outstanding. Like
yeah.
that's not a problem at all. And because you know, diplomacy people, they're sort of big personalities. They like to share that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, even if you've never met these people before, mm-hmm. like that's part of what diplomacy is all about. You know, it's
yeah.
sort of an instant kinship. It's an instant intimacy. So don't hesitate to
Don't be afraid to ask yeah.
to like ask what would in normal circumstances we can all agree would be wildly inappropriate.
Definitely. Yeah.
But in that specific contest where you've ordered your double cheeseburger and your whatever else you had with it.
17 gin and tonics.
Maybe 17 gin and tonics.
Yeah,
and
whatever it is. Yeah.
And then your next meal and then you win one after that.
Right.
Like in that contest, it is totally fine.
It's a time for sharing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how you make those connections that become so important on the board.
Yeah.
The next round.
Yeah, they become,
so
I mean, that is going to factor into your score. Like,
absolutely.
It
well, yeah,
is, yeah.
Not in a numbers way, but in a well, I guess
yeah,
that's how the outcome.
Eventually,
yeah.
right. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And then another thing is when you're at the bar, I mean, like, those things come up. They don't always come up. Things
sure.
about, like, people's wives and girlfriends and sex and things like that. They do come up, but that mostly let that happen kind of organically.
Yeah.
Most of the time, really just be talking about your board.
Absolutely. No, I mean,
yeah.
This is the time, and I can't agree with you more on this.
Yeah.
Like, your go-to at every single moment should be talking about the thing that just happened to you on a board.
Yeah.
And honestly, in this, if someone drifts for even a moment,
mm-hmm.
turn to somebody else and tell the same story.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, because unless you're making eye contact with somebody, because if this rule applies to everybody, mm-hmm. unless you're making eye contact, they probably haven't heard your story. And that it's important to communicate not only what happened to you, but like how you did it. So
right.
people can get an idea of what kind of a player you are.
Right. Exactly. And if it's a good story, you can tell it again and again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't be embarrassed.
You should be. You have not done your job
yeah.
unless you've told that story at least, and I mean minimum. This should be at least 10 times.
Yeah.
You should expect many more times than that. But like, if you haven't told that story to at least 10 different people, you really are doing yourself
yeah.
a disservice.
Yeah, definitely. And if it seems like they may want to talk about other things, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you just don't have to keep talking to that person.
Yeah, just...
Just move on to the next person and tell them that same story. I mean, it just don't sweat it. You know, don't sweat like it. If they say, so how's your job? How's your life? How's anything? Hey, you know, I got a promotion. I got my daughter is fine.
Absolutely fine. It's completely legit.
No offense. Move on to the next person.
Yeah. And I think it's important to it's okay to just not even acknowledge what they said.
Yeah.
Turn 90 degrees and start just pick up where you left off. That is totally fine. And it would be rude. Sure. It would be rude in a different context. But like I said, the rules here are a little different.
A little different, yeah.
And for sure.
Because we're here about diplomacy, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're here to talk about diplomacy. And so
everyone expects this, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. And if you're still telling the Friday night board story Sunday.
If it's a good story.
Keep telling it.
Keep telling it. You're going to, I guess we should be clear, the more current the story, the better. But if it's a good story, and you just have to weigh this. This is part of being an expert. This is all just experience and part of, going through it. If your Friday story is better, keep telling it.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if everyone has heard it, tell it again.
Yeah. Though, I mean, don't sell your Saturday story short.
Yeah.
But maybe tell them both if you can.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone is super, super, and I cannot stress this enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have the right adjectives for it. Everyone is very interested in what you have to say about what just happened to you, whether or not they were on the board.
Especially if it was bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's yeah, if something bad happened to you and you were knocked out in a sort of a what I'll call an unfair way, people want to know about that because it's a bonding thing. So definitely.
And we'll come back to unfairness in a minute because I think that's another
that's a whole
but you want to talk about the
chest. Yes. Okay. So this is all of the stuff we talked about is really important, but when you get to a point, because you'll be in a big group of people, when eventually some people are going to want to break off, you want to wait, you want to try and leave when the majority of people are leaving.
Right.
So don't try to leave early, don't try and stay late. You want to when most people seem like they've had their third or fourth entree and their sixth or tenth drink, and they're sort of, they want to move on to the next place. That's when you want to tab out, and you want to be, and this seems silly, but diplomacy players can smell this a mile away. You want to be incredibly precise about to the cent, about how much you owe. And if you shared a little something, you calculate that out, and obviously you need to pay for what you had, but not a cent more, because
quarter of the cheese fries, that means quarter of the
cost. Get out the calculators, guys and gals. You need to down to the cent, because if you overpay or you underpay, then people are all over you.
People can spot that. It's a sign of weakness either way.
Absolutely. Yeah. You need to be incredibly, incredibly precise. And don't, if people are trying to gloss over it or I'll pay for it, oh, blah, 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 don't buy that.
No.
That's diplomacy.
It takes an hour to get out of that place.
Oh, yeah.
That's an hour well spent.
Well, yeah, because it's going to directly, as you just said, and I'm going to keep saying this all night, directly translates to your score. Because those guys that are saying, oh, I'll just pay for it, it's no big deal, they're diploming you. They are making you look bad to everyone else. Insist on the exact amount. And if you don't, if you have some change, use it. If you don't, make the waitress go and do it. I literally been just screwed over by this.
And by the way, waitresses, in a diplomacy context, they're just there to help you.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, don't even worry about their feelings in this context. There's a lot of things that you're achieving when you're out there, and they have nothing to do with the waitress's happiness. That's just sort of an aside. I didn't even have that in my notes, but I just wanted to mention it.
It's a good point, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess you can make that mistake.
Yeah.
And worry about, she might not want to split, 20 different checks.
Into 34% here and 16% there.
Yeah, right. Don't worry about it.
That's least of your concerns. Yeah. One of these things.
No, it's good. Anyway, thanks for letting me get that off because I have made that mistake.
Definitely.
And it took me a couple of tournaments to really figure out that where to toe the line,
Yeah.
So, anyway. Thanks for letting me.
Yeah.
What do we have next? Sorry, I guess I'd pent that up a bit.
Good. So I guess we were going to talk a little bit about unfairness.
Right.
Because we kind of left off on that, and I do kind of want to transition. This is sort of more stuff about once you're back on the boards again. You've gone out, you've had a good time, you've eaten some food, you've add some drinks. You're back in the room again. Unfairness, I think, is a thing that some people get it wrong. I guess. Some people.
Some people do
think they're not being treated unfairly when they are. I think is a big deal, and you as a tournament goer, especially a newer tournament goer, you need to take kind of every opportunity, I think,
right,
to identify when you're being treated unfairly.
Because you will be. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You will not go to a tournament and not be treated unfairly.
Right. Yeah, then now, starting with board assignments, I guess.
Absolutely.
Like, that, automatically, you can assume that those are a little bit...
They're going to be, absolutely. I mean, tournament directors are constantly making sure, mm-hmm. and they're thinking about how are these players going to interact. I mean, maybe if you're a brand new player, but still.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean,
So it's important to speak up, like, especially, you know what a good time is?
What?
Right when they're calling the boards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right, because, you know, I know it looks like they're haggard and stressed out and trying to get everything right. Maybe it's an act, but that is a time that they really are open to criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you shouldn't be shy about that.
And I'll tell you why, having done it myself. It's like, the problem's in front of you right then and there.
Right.
The best time to deal with that problem is right then and there.
Right.
It's just logical. It makes perfect sense.
If you're next to Jeff Dornicky, just speak up about it right then.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Right then.
Nobody wants that. If you're a player that has played and has a well-known, nemesis, I guess, is a way of mm-hmm. saying it, or there's a certain pattern that's clearly evidence to the tournament director, and he or she puts you adjacent to each other. I mean, you need to call that out right then and there, loudly.
We should mention that is if you're paying attention to the board call.
Yeah.
If you're not, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's optional. It is an opportunity to be able to speak up about board assignments that you don't like, but if you're not paying any attention, it's actually fine to just interrupt them, like, on another board and just say, excuse me, did you say my name yet mm-hmm. on some other board? That's okay too.
I mean, some people choose, and this is mm-hmm. a completely legitimate strategy, to just not be there for the board call.
That's okay.
You don't have to. It's not important. You don't have to show up on time.
Followed our advice the night before. Had too much to drink.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
problem.
Sleep it's no in. Problem. Sleep in.
Yeah.
Frankly, no one can do anything until you get there. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
they'll just hold your board.
Yeah, might as well.
So just don't really even worry about it too much. Roll in mm-hmm. when you think it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to do it too much. I mean, if you do it more like an hour.
Yeah,
you're definitely going to, I mean, you're definitely, they might
say nine. They probably mean 10.
They never start on time anyway.
No.
They never do. Just, you know, whenever you feel like it, just show up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So that's sort of the thing about unfairness. Is there,
the board.
That's pre-board. I kind of wanted to transition to.
I just want to make sure we.
To the board.
Well, I also think that this is related to the board call. I think if there's anything interesting in the least about a board call, you should make just a ton of noise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you should, like, groan or, like, if there's something that's, like, even mildly interesting. Frankly, and this is a rule of thumb that I personally use.
Yeah.
If I know the person that whose name has just been called, I generally will make a noise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whether or not, you know, various levels of excitement or whatever, depending on what country they got and, like, or how we've interacted at that tournament or whatever.
But you're kind of killing two birds with one stone there.
Because, oh, am I?
Because on one hand, you're letting everyone know, like, that you're aware of the situation.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
And you're also letting the tournament director know that you consider it unfair. And both of those are actually critical things to protect yourself with these things, you know,
because,
if nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you definitely want to. I wouldn't, and I don't know, maybe you have an opinion on this. How loud should you be? I mean, obviously you need to be audible by the tournament director, but you don't need to necessarily position yourself anywhere near the tradition.
It depends how funny the joke is, I think.
Oh, that's true.
I mean,
that's
if
true.
You've got a real screamer, like if you're just like, oh, wow, I'm Germany again. I mean, that's as loud as you want.
Oh, absolutely.
Shout that out as loud as you want.
Oh, that's comedic gold right there. And this will happen to you all the time. Sometimes a tournament director will just give you the same country every time just to see if you'll squawk.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, that's like...
Or not necessarily like this. Sometimes they have software so that it doesn't happen at the same tournament, but maybe you were Germany the previous year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
That kills the room every time.
Everyone.
You're like, oh, my God, I'm always Germany on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Left, right.
It's good. No, and people love it.
Yeah.
And you get so many points for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not actual, you know what I mean? Like,
No, not tournament points, but just like
just to be clear.
People will just be clear. Be like, oh, that guy knows what's up.
Like, well, I mean, listen to, like, just as that just example, I just want to go through really quick. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, this is the third time I've been to this particular tournament, and I always get Germany on a Sunday. So that's what you know, you scream out.
It's solid enough right
solid,
there.
It's solid enough. But think about it. Mm-hmm. You've not only, if you're following our advice, not only that, you've shown everyone that you don't tolerate being treated unfairly.
Right.
You've let everyone know you've been to that three times, even though obviously you're wearing the t-shirt probably as well, so they already know. But you're just like making sure people understand that you've gotten that. Mm-hmm. Three, you're hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never hesitate. Yeah. Never hesitate.
No downside there.
No downside at all.
Yeah. Finally, you get to the board.
Yeah.
You sit down. I think sense of humor, again, is another kind of key thing here.
I agree.
Because you want everyone to, you know, again, a social game. Yeah. People like a funny guy.
Everyone likes a funny guy.
Right?
No one wants you to be uptight.
No.
Right?
No. No one likes someone who sits down and they're nervous and they're stressed out and they're like ready to play the game. So open with a joke.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And again, some kind of I'm always this country, or, oh, I'm always on a board with this person. Strong.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Strong.
Make a pithy observation about the board setup. Or, you know, like I like to say things along like, oh, well, looks, you know, a traditional alliance, like, or there's an R and T, and especially if those people vaguely know each other, oh, guess who's working together? Russia and Turkey.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, you definitely want to, like, make some, like.
I should do that one more, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a free one, guys. Like, it is as close to negotiating before you get started as you can really get without being thrown out. So, you know, you want to make little stuff like that. So you're already starting to make little connections.
Yeah. I have two that I like.
Yeah,
but, go on. I like if, like, everyone in the West has glasses.
Yeah.
And everyone in the East doesn't. I like to point that out right away.
Oh, nice.
Or if everyone, you know, in the West has tennis shoes and everyone in the East has some other kind of shoes.
Yeah. Boots or something.
Boots, yeah. I'll say that right away.
Yeah.
So that everyone knows that I'm kind of...
Observant,
and it kills, you know.
Oh, yeah, people love it.
Like crazy.
I always like if people come from different hobbies, like from different cities, and they're like,
yeah,
there's a lot of them where they're predominant or something. I spend a lot of time making jokes about that.
Their origin.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What city they're from. Yeah,
exactly. I spend a lot of time with that, like how they're all going to band together or like all those. That's sort of like fun loving, you know, humorously self-defeating, it's disarming.
It is. That's a really good way to think of it. Yeah. And then the other one, I guess, and I think you know this one, like, you know what I'm going to say here. It, like, if you're Turkey or maybe Russia or something, I hope I make it to my room.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, my
here,
God.
High five. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is.
Oh, God.
You know what? Actually, write this one down, guys. And you should do this if you're ever Russia or Turkey. No one does this. And every time I see, I think I've seen Eric do it once.
Yeah.
But every time I see this, it's hilarious. It is just, it's unending.
You know,
it just keeps giving and giving and giving.
And
it's
funny. Now that David Hood has chastised and admonished us a little bit, I feel like maybe I should explain the background behind
this. He was being helpful.
No, of course he was, but... you know, he's David. It's fine. You take turns, like Austria. It goes alphabetically.
Yeah,
so
most
like
tournaments.
Austria
do like this.
Reads spring of 01, then England, then France, Germany, Italy. So Russia and Turkey are last. So what you're really saying there is, I hope I make it to the fall of 03 and or the spring of 04.
Yeah.
Right. And boy, I mean, Who wouldn't?
You know, right? You want a related one. That's what's so funny. You know, related to that one, yeah. Just so we don't forget, like, yeah. if you're not doing particularly well, and you already, like, let's say you're Austria. This Austria is really a great one to do this on. Mm-hmm. If it's fall 04 and it's your read again, definitely point
celebrate
out.
Celebrate that.
Like, yeah. and the line should be something like, and it doesn't have to be precisely this, but it should be really close. Like, oh, wow, I get to read again.
Yeah.
But definitely. Woo-hoo. Or, yeah, woohoo yeah. is good. It depends on, you know, how you're feeling at the moment. But definitely. Yeah,
that's a great call.
Make sure to make that observation because it just, everyone loves it. I mean, it lightens the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes you seem so like you're on top.
Unique.
Yeah. That's just it. It's unique. Yeah. No one really does it.
Yeah.
So definitely just put that, you know, this is why you're listening to this podcast.
Right. Little extra. Nathan likes to give you the practicals.
I know. Okay. Sorry. I'm a little.
No, it's good. Don't be sorry.
I don't want to hoard this knowledge. It's good stuff.
So that did kind of like lead me to the next thing I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
When it's not going well.
You
have that joke, but I feel like there's like more things.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Sure. You know, just that joke reminded me.
We talk all the time on the show. It's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it's got
to. Sometimes not every board is going to be a rose garden, right?
Nope.
And so there's some things that you can do when it's not going well that are probably going to help you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, and we have talked about this on the show, like you can't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to be doing something because it's always possible to turn it around,
mm-hmm.
but you got to set the stage for that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sulking
is just a default, and I assume everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it bears stating.
Mm-hmm. Announcing that you're just going to sit here and defend and try not to die, not really engaging anyone in conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And just sitting there quietly.
Definitely don't make eye contact when you're doing this move. You want to, like, look in sort of the middle distance or people's chest. Like, if especially if people are gathered around the table right after orders are read, you want to make the announcement. Maybe dramatically throw your writing instrument or your pad.
Yeah,
it
different
doesn't have
styles.
To, different styles. So but feel free to work with it. Feel free to work with it.
Yeah.
Don't make eye contact. Announce that you're just going to defend, and then never leave the table. That's what I do.
And if anyone wants to talk to you, be sure to communicate to them that you don't really care what happens. You're just defending yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
At least initially, you want to really, for like two full seasons, you want to commit so people understand mm-hmm. that you're serious about defending.
Defending yourself, yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And to me, it's almost, I mean, that's something that almost transcends the game, and it's something about sort of a person's personal honor.
Oh, yeah.
Almost. I mean, I don't want to kind of overstate it or anything, but, like, if you really have that opportunity to just be, like, an honorable man is going to die ordering two centers to support each other.
I mean,
Budapest supports Vienna, Vienna supports Budapest. Boom.
Well, and I think if... I'm excited about you mentioning this because it's such a, and we're talking about mostly playing in the States, but it's such an Alamo allegory.
Yeah.
You know, like this is an American sort of last man standing, defending with your honor, something you have no legitimate claim to, you defending it to the last because you're there and that's what you are tasked with doing. It's players that you're going to meet really respond to this.
Yeah, definitely. And the unhappier you seem while you're doing it, the more they're going to respond to it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And just the way that you're, if you're recalcitrant, sulky.
Disengaged. Yeah.
A little bit, especially, and if you are going to just, and you can't, for some reason, someone's just browbeating you into talking to them, definitely do it in a sort of way that just says, well, I don't know why we need to be talking, blah, et cetera.
Right. Like,
you
wanna
do it.
Put out.
Yeah, like, you're the one, and you are.
You are.
Because you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, and someone is just not allowing you to do it.
Yeah.
So you need to be act as put out and put upon as possible if you have to leave your station at the table to talk to somebody.
Right, exactly.
Because that's your post. That's where you're supposed to be.
That's where you belong.
Yeah.
You're like the...
So,
I guess I don't know if you have anything else on that, but I do have one more thing written.
Oh, no, here. No. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I think I got too excited about the Alamo.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it was just like, it was so
exciting. It's like, I remember so many games that have just gone like Alamo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then telling people about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about this earlier, right? You just like.
You know what I ordered? Budapest first, Vienna, Vienna first.
And I did that for. Oh, and it's so satisfying to say I did that for 5 straight seasons.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, and I can tell you, like, people are so impressed, and like that's the kind of story that you can tell over and over and over, yeah, and, over and over again, and never gets old.
Yeah,
never gets old.
Fourth dinner or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. I guess the last thing on this one, and this one is a little bit controversial, but we felt like we should include it. If you don't feel like you're getting through to your opponents with just the usual recalcitrance and just the usual kind of Alamo. Stand up. There's one more thing you can do, and I'm not saying you should do this every day.
Oh, I know where you're going.
But, like, once a tournament, once every other tournament is fine, you can threaten to quit the hobby.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's sort of, I don't want to call it a nuclear option.
No, it's really not.
Because, I mean, as long as you're not doing it more than once a tournament, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And what you want to do in that case is make it clear, like, if somebody has really disrespected you on a board and they're not responding to your sulking and they're not responding to your jokes and they're making you repeatedly stand up and go talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can really just target that person as a person that's offended you and threatened to quit the hobby over the fact that
absolutely
they share the same hobby as you.
And again, this is just so to be specific, as David mm-hmm. pointed out, we should be.
Yeah.
This really should take the form of your. Never gonna. Not only you're never gonna play at this particular tournament again. Yeah. That's almost a given.
Yeah.
But that you never want to play this particular game with these particular people at any time
mm-hmm.
ever. Mm-hmm. Regardless of venue, regardless of time, regardless of situation, and you want to deliver this as really high end isn't the only way. You really want to like stand on a soapbox and deliver this.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
In a way,
like 3-board radius.
Oh, is absolutely. As high end's the wrong way. I guess I meant like stand up high to make sure everyone can hear it because this particular, you know, a lot of these are not cross board. Mm-hmm. This is a cross board. You want
play.
Everyone,
no question,
to know. You need that. It needs to be loud
and above everybody else.
The
people hosting the tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I understand that they worked hard to make this event, but whoever it was that screwed you over on that board, they need to know that they're responsible for putting that
absolutely.
Person on the board with you.
Absolutely. The person that needs to take care of the situation is the tournament director. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure you're telling them, but you also want to make sure you're calling into question the ethics, isn't the word? The personal morality of the person that has potentially driven you out of the hobby.
Yeah,
really,
right.
You know.
Right,
you
at least, right. I mean, yeah, mind you don't actually have to quit the hobby,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sorry.
You just have to really intend to for, like, probably 12 hours.
Yeah, and maybe, and I've definitely quit the hobby,
sure.
Or at least, like 24 hours after
sure.
the tournament.
Sure.
If it was a Sunday round, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
You don't look at your email or
Twitter
or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely, definitely. And I know you have, tons of times.
Oh, for sure.
You got to do it. Otherwise, this is what the theme was earlier. You just get walked all over.
Right. It's kind of one of those things like threatening to throw a solo.
Oh, sure.
Like, you don't want to actually have to do it.
Yeah.
But you do have to do it.
Occasionally.
Just so people know that you're serious. Exactly. Like, and you can do it, and then you can just, you know, join the hobby again a little while later.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's an entrance fee, you know?
Yeah, right. The Phoenix Scissor Incident, or what have you. You can just throw that out there and just rejoin, and that's fine. But
yeah, most of the time,
it's the threat of it that gets you what you want.
And you should absolutely, right? and I think this is a corollary that's obvious, like, you just, the next time you're at the tournament, you just... Mm-hmm. You don't mention it. There's no reason to.
No,
I mean, like,
no,
it's
no,
like
no,
it
no.
happened, right?
No.
So just don't.
I mean,
worry
if
that.
If the hosts of the tournament or the tournament director is actually in tears because you've made them so upset, then there's no reason to like necessarily go back to that.
No.
At any point.
No, so you don't want to. No, don't worry about that.
You've done your thing.
And And that's mostly, like I said earlier, a tournament directors having been one, mostly an act. So I mean, they have a whole lot of things going on, and they're just, you know, don't feel bad.
They roll with the punches.
Basically. They roll with the punches. Yeah. They don't really, I mean, if they really were people that cared about this, they wouldn't do it.
Right. They worked hard to put the thing together. They're hoping you have a good time. But if instead you had a miserable time, were so furious at somebody that you were going to quit the hobby over something that happened at their tournament, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Water off a duck's back.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about what it looks like. It's fine.
One other thing about tournament directors, that rules interpretations.
Oh, this is actually very important. This is
an important thing. Yeah. Be sure, like specifically tournament, not so much the hosts, although sometimes they're tournament directors as well.
Yeah.
But, when you believe that you found an incorrectly written house rule or a vaguely written house rule or really any opportunity to better your own position by exploiting the rules.
Absolutely.
Boy, I mean, people really...
It's like manna from heaven, really.
Yeah. And your opponents, your allies will see that and they'll be like, that's a wagon I'm going to hitch myself to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And I really want to, like, drill down on this. Even if it's absolutely clear that it's a typo or an oversight or something where someone was just moving too fast. I mean, even if it's clear what the intent was, you want to read it as literally as possible and get, I mean, you've got to go for every single point or every advantage you can get.
You go to these things to win. They're called absolutely, tournaments,
yeah.
Right?
They're not called, like, let's get together and randomly have a beauty pageant. No.
Right.
They're like, you're there to win. And even if you have to fundamentally upend the rules of the game as they were intended, it's a house rule. It's on paper. There's ink there.
Right there.
You go for it. You go for it. And you find a way to make it.
And those house rules really, I mean, are probably pretty scrupulously written by sort of lawyerly people anyway. And so if you can one up that.
Yeah. Everyone has a huge amount of respect for that. I don't know, Eric. I think both of us have stories of either ourselves doing it or somebody at a tournament like this. Like, oh, the time that Jake Mannix went through and found a flaw in the math and just really called into question. You know what? And if there's a scoring discrepancy, by the way, you should wait until after they've announced all of the winners.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because don't do it before.
No.
Definitely wait until all the awards are given out because...
Excuse me, I think I should have been sixth.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people are already dispersing. That's the best time to bring up that there might have been a computational error.
Mm-hmm.
So just that's a pro tip.
Is there anything else? Because you've done more like... tournament hosting type stuff than I have. Is there anything else regarding scoring system that you want to say?
Well, I mean, not as a TD. Mm-hmm. The TD's probably written the scoring system and applying the scoring system in a way that is detrimental to your score.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost a given. Mm-hmm. You should really question if you're getting a score. You should question that the tournament director has not done their math right.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And I guess from that perspective, that's true. And I guess as somebody who's more usually just a player at these tournaments, I guess it's also worth mentioning that the discussions of the merits of a scoring system.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't usually get old.
Oh my gosh! As a tournament director, and this is I talked about this before. Mm. One of the reasons I did it was because I really like talking about scoring systems.
Yeah,
like, and one of the reasons that I ran so many different ones was just to really spur that conversation. Like, let's talk about whether or not this scoring system accurately portrays and accurately measures good diplomacy play is. Let's talk about it. Let's do it. That is my favorite part of a tournament.
And just from a simple social level, like if you see somebody, like a friend, you know, hey, good morning, hey, getting some coffee, you know, and then you kind of run out of topics.
Yeah.
Right there. Boy, I really don't like the scoring system.
Yeah.
Good opener. You're waiting for the round to start. Like, boy, I would have played so differently. I would have taken Bulgaria at the end there if it had been for the scoring system.
It's important to never like the scoring system. It's just so much more relatable to talk about ways that the scoring system has put you, because it connects you with people a little bit better, you know, in that way that we talked earlier, that little sort of like, oh, that self-deprecating play.
Absolutely, yeah.
You really want to, you know, it's the word I used earlier was disarming.
Yeah.
It's disarming to say, this scoring system has screwed me in this way. I would have done it differently had I understood it. This is especially good after round one. Pre-round one, you can't really do this as a go-to.
Round one's perfect because it gives you the opportunity to complain about that one for, like, easily 56 more hours, something like that.
And if you know, it's also a good time to like sit down with the scoring system and have discussions with people, like, how do you think this is going to work? And if you've experienced it before, how it screwed you in the past.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to kind of check in throughout the weekend with the same people on the same subject. Yeah,
because it evolves.
Right,
Those discussions I was just talking about. Like, you know, people will have...
They say they don't care at first. Maybe they say, that's fine. It seems fine to me.
First of all, they care.
But keep visiting that again and again. By Sunday, maybe you'll have another answer to that, you know.
And it's good. It never gets old. I think, you know what, you might have hit on the thing that's most important. I mean, I do agree, like, discussing the scoring system over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And especially with the tournament director about their choice of using it. It's just an important thing to be doing. Like, if you'll notice a lot of people not doing it. You'll also notice that those are people that are not in the top five. They're not in the top seven.
It's just
they're
like giving away money.
Exactly.
Not to
it's
bring
stupid.
That up.
Yeah. It's stupid, dude. Yeah. People, you're just the people that win are the people that are up there having these conversations. Yeah. So get in on it, guys.
Exactly.
What else do we want to talk about? You know, there is one thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've covered what else you have in your notes.
Yeah, no, I think I'm pretty much through, but I know there was one more thing you want
there
to
There is one
up.
More yep. thing I want to talk about. Because it doesn't come up all the time. But if you happen to be in a tournament where there are women.
Oh, yeah.
This is important.
Everything.
It does. It changes things. And you want to make sure that you're behaving appropriately. Your goal really should be, and actually I've forgotten something. And so I'm going to weave that in.
Okay.
Your goal really should be to make them as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the ways that I like to do that is, and this is something I generally do, I try and drink as much as possible while I'm playing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, bring...
Goes back to that.
Yeah. You bring whatever bottle of whatever, if you're a beer guy, if you're a wine girl, or wine guy and beer girl, whatever it is.
Sure.
Whatever your tipple is. Make sure you have plenty of that on hand while you're playing. And it's, you know, not only does it make your play better...
You're saying like, well, if you're on the board with a female player.
I'm saying that in general.
Either way.
And in general, it's going to make your play better.
Okay, yeah.
And if there is a female player there, actually, regardless of your particular gender.
Double super better.
Oh, my God. 1,000% better.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, every female diplomacy player is a lot more comfortable if there's a lot of alcohol flowing.
Oh, yeah. They respond to that.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're just everyone feels a little bit more comfortable, and you should be as friendly as possible.
I'd agree.
You know, it can be a difficult experience being in a room with a bunch of men you don't know, so you really want to be friendly. Take
They'll
them under your
gravitate
wing.
Toward the one who's the drunkest and therefore the most relaxed.
Exactly,
right?
The most relaxed. Take them under your wing. Put an arm around them. Make sure you talk.
Oh, sure. At least.
Talk closely and really a lot. I mean, a lot of female diplomacy players really respond well when you really talk about not only what's going on the board, but on, you know, other topics, like what they're wearing, what they're thinking about.
That's true.
And they appreciate being told how to do things. Like, they really would like to know strategies and things like that.
Most of them don't know anything about tactics, and so anything that
sometimes
you
they sometimes they do, but you should
better
you should assume
that,
they don't.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. If they do what they say they were going to do, a lot of women really like a long, slow hug.
Oh,
yeah. And thanks. Yeah, they do really appreciate that. So keep that kind of in your bag of tricks. Yes, yeah, you know?
Absolutely. Because you really, they tend to be fickle. So yeah. You want to like try and hold on to them as an ally.
Hold like physically, like what communicate to them how you feel about the alliance.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are. And that's just what's worked for me, and I know that's worked for Eric.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, sure. You know, it's just sort of like the general etiquette. It doesn't, mm-hmm. like I said, it doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You should, like I said, with I'm sorry I mashed those two together because I got out of order, but if you're drinking, as you should be, mm-hmm. while you're playing, it not only does it improve your play, but it is, mm-hmm. it's a great way to like bring others into your circle. Yeah. Like, hey, here's this and that and the other. You may find that some people object to it.
Right.
There are a couple, like, I mean, like one or two people that object to you being loose at the board. Don't respect that at all.
No.
There's such a tiny minority, and honestly, they just mostly just get rushed out of games anyway, you know.
Yeah, so, order another one.
That's yeah, exactly. Yeah. So don't worry too much about that, and just make your presence known.
I might add, veto every draw. The drunker you get, the funnier that gets.
Oh my God, everyone loves
hilarious.
That. I have so many funny stories about people, or myself, just vetoing draws.
Right.
For until like 3-4 in the morning.
I told them I put in an army, actually.
Yeah. Because that's why it's important to have enough. You like you need because the bars will close. You know the liquor stores will close.
That's right.
Yeah. And people will stop giving you drinks, so you need to have enough.
Yeah.
Stash them away.
Right, but the cheapest you can so that no one wants to share is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, just bring
I mean, and that's those are the games that you know you pull out surprise wins on. So
yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good solo.
Did we cover everything? I mean, those are some good tips.
Yeah. I think we got most of it. So, I mean, boy, just to recap, I don't
sure.
know. Eat, drink, be merry.
Yeah.
Sulk.
Threaten to, yeah, do not be afraid to threaten the hobby. Mm-hmm. Engage in vigorous debates with your tournament director. Definitely question that scoring system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, make sure.
Women need your help.
I don't know if they. I think needs a strong word. I want to. You know, maybe I'm. Maybe I'm the feminist here, but I think they just really want.
Yeah, you're right.
Your help and protection.
You're right. So. Yeah, and look, some of you, this all may have seemed kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And to you, I'd say that's great. You're miles ahead, but you'd be surprised. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of mistakes out there.
Tournaments that just make these really basic mistakes. So anyway, I don't know. I hope it's been helpful.
Yeah, and you know what we should do, and we haven't discussed this before. And I think we might make this announcement, but we might be putting together getting t-shirts so that you guys can just order them from us.
Some good looking small only.
Yeah, yeah. Small, yeah. Extra small.
Yeah.
Some Diplomacy t-shirts.
Diplomacy
cast t-shirts, yeah. Maybe. Or, you know, we'll probably do them for CompTonCom.
Yeah, we'll look at doing that. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
About that. You have been listening to Diplomacy Cast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Wasn't it fun?
It was great.
I had a great time.
Yeah, definitely. For Nathan Barnes, I'm Eric Mead, signing off. We'll talk to you next time.
For Eric Mead, I am a giant 13-foot-tall chocolate banana.
I was just trying to sound like a radio guy. That's what I get. Bye, everyone.